SPAR has tallied the cost of July's civil unrest impact on the business at over 638 million rand. But thanks to insurance, those losses were adequately covered. The group's liquor business also facing a series of trading restrictions due to the pandemic. But despite this, the retailer has managed to lift its annual group turnover by close to 3% and headline earnings per share by over 5%. Company CEO Brett Botten joins us now with greater perspective on the numbers and the where to from here within what is a very constrained consumer and broader economic picture. Thanks so much, Brett, for your time this evening. So I say that despite those headwinds, you've managed to grow headline earnings per share. You've managed to see turnover rise, but these are still very tepid numbers that have come through, with various factors having hit locally over the period, from trading restrictions to civil unrest to load shedding, which I didn't even touch on there. Has the trough been hit here, and are you at least starting to see trading activity back to pre-pandemic levels?
Yes, good afternoon, Lisha. It's good to chat to you again. So we've called our result a robust performance, and I guess a bit of a mixed bag. You know, we've had good performance in Ireland and excellent performance in Switzerland. But South Africa, yeah, it has been disappointing, and mainly on the top line. As you say, we've been heavily affected by the unrest here in KZN, ongoing liquor ban, and we lost one third of the liquor trading days, which is very similar, ironically, to the 2020 year. Also, one third of the available days lost. But this ban on weekend liquor trading really affected us. And in fact, our liquor grew by 11.2% in the period under review. However, it's still 6% below the 2019 figure. So some 500 million rand off 2019. So it just shows you the impact on our liquor sales. In addition to that, we benefit significantly in our SPA stores adjacent to the liquor stores on weekends, when people come into the liquor stores and go next door to shop the SPA stores. And obviously, with liquor stores being closed on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays, we lost the turnover in our SPA stores as well. So really almost like a double whammy and affecting us, because we over-index on liquor because of the strength of our Topps brand. You touched also on the unrest. We had 184 stores affected initially. Very happy to say that 131 have been reopened, but 53 that are left. 20 of those are SPAR stores. There's 23 stores in total which will be long-term rebuild. So most of them are going to come back online. Only a few will not open, and we've taken strategic decisions on those ones. But most of them will come back online towards those 20 odd stores will reopen in the second half of next year. Yeah. Post year end, we've seen a little bit of an uptick in our performance, which is obviously very pleasing. However, it's erratic. You know, we'll have a good performance in the next week, down again, but overall a pleasing uptick, which we excited about.
You talk about things being erratic here. How easy is it to start to identify the kind of shifts that have happened? Because your release today highlighting that you are now catering to a very changed consumer behavior, and it has evolved over the past 18 months. So how have you had to shift accordingly, Brett?
So, Lisha, I think when we refer to that, we're talking about the rise and of the prominence of e-commerce or online shopping, particularly, which obviously prior to the pandemic was all on all of our radar screens, but the arrival of COVID and the lockdowns has just accelerated that sort of that trend or that move, and we've identified that we've been in some form of online shopping for years and years in SPA in about 150 odd stores. But with different solutions, some of them quite sophisticated, but some of them actually a little bit primitive. We've now embarked on a project to design an app, an application, online shopping application, in partnership with International SPA. And we're really excited. We're going to be piloting our first store in the northern suburbs of Johannesburg, either late this month or early December, with a target to roll it out to about 100 stores over the course of next year, which is really exciting for us. We call it the shared value ecosystem, because with our independent retailer model, we obviously need to be taking that into account. So, so the retailers will be responsible for the pick, pack, and deliver aspect, and we also the ranging or the catalog in these stores that come onto our online shopping application will be unique to each store, which is quite a different angle.
But Brett, again, sorry to interrupt and jump in there, but how much spend being directed this way? What kind of investment are we looking at here?
So initially, because we like last to the game in terms of online shopping, we are investing significantly at this stage. But the idea being to, once we've got the ability to scale this model, we will then have a look at the revenue cost structure. And as I said, it's a shared value ecosystem. So we'll be able to share that cost between ourselves and our retailers.
I talk about this because it's within a very, price pressurized environment, if I can call it that. Input cost pressures at the factory gate and the extent to which that's finding its way to you, the degree which you can then in turn pass it on to your consumers. I mean, we had that inflation print come through today, and expectations are that we're going to see interest rate hikes come through tomorrow. So how's all of that coming to bear on the margins you're enjoying or not at this point?
So Alicia, we've obviously been talking and watching inflation very carefully, and we're seeing some cost pressures. You know, we talk about the pricing on containers, for instance, shipping containers. Our forecast for 2022 was sort of around the 5% mark, but having said that, I think we're going to be under pressure to maintain price increases to that sort of level. But at the same time, as you say, the consumers are constrained and they're under pressure. So it's going to be difficult to pass on big price increases through our suppliers to us, to consumers. We're all going to have to absorb a little bit of that. That's how it's going to play out in the marketplace in 2022. Not going to be easy for manufacturers or retailers, in fact, because you talk about the possible interest rate increase as well. So it's going to be really challenging, I think.
You know, we're running out of time here, Brett, and when we do run out of time, we never focus on your star performer, right? That's your build it operation. Instead, we look towards your Achilles heel. So I've got to have to shift focus to Poland, because you alluded to right at the top your Irish and your Swiss operations delivering strong performances. What's happening in Poland? A great deal of progress, being made to lay the foundations for future growth, but you're just not delivering, I guess, or it's not delivering on the expectations that you've set.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. It's a very disappointing result for us. And just recently, myself and our CFO, Mark Godfrey, we were actually in Poland. We spent almost a week there. So we were able to see firsthand of what we've achieved in building and setting up this business, which is really encouraging. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't translate into numbers, we need to do some more work. So what we've done, there are two strategic decisions that we've taken and we're starting to implement. The one is around the contractual arrangements we have with our spa retailers in the south. We were moving them onto new contracts because the current arrangement is onerous on ourselves and it's not a mutually beneficial arrangement. We're expecting them to sign new contracts with us. We might end up losing some of those retailers to spa, but so be it. We can't continue with the current arrangement. We've grown our support base from in terms of the what they buy from us from 0% to 27%, but it's not good enough for us right now. So we've made that decision and we're moving forward with that. The second strategic decision we've taken is to rationalize our logistics operations. We've got three distribution centers in Poland at the moment, one in Kaninko in Poznan, one in Chilach, and then one just outside Warsaw. The Warsaw one we're going to close and move the products down to Chilach to service our retailers in the south, which will help us to reduce our transport and delivery costs and the warehousing costs as well. So those two decisions are important for us. We've made them and we're very positive about having seen what we've done and accomplished in under serious, really difficult circumstances. We're very positive about the impact of those two decisions going into 2020.
So the next time I touch base with you, we're going to start off with that. Take a look at just how much traction that has garnered as the next 6 months progress. Brett, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Spa CEO Brett Botten.